Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Jewelry isn't a gift you give just once. It's a way to remind your loved one of a beautiful moment every time they see it. Blue Nile can help you find the gift that says how you feel and says it beautifully with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com to find the perfect jewelry gift for any occasion. BlueNile.com.
What do you mean?
Eleven.
Friends don't play.
Stop it! You're freaking her out!
She's freaking me out!
The upside down.
Do you understand what he's talking about?
No.
I found the chocolate pudding!
Oh God, please tell me it's not the kid.
I need you to hide!
Warnings are for coffee and contemplation.
Holy shit.
Welcome back. My name is Chris.
I'm Andy.
And I'm Steve.
And this is Streaming Things, the unofficial Stranger Things podcast. We're back, baby. We just finished chapter 5 and we're here to talk about it. Hope you're ready to listen about it. Damn it.
Take your seats. Take a number.
Sit down.
It's time. You're here at the Streaming Things Hotel. All right. You checked in.
We got our coffee, guys. It's time to contemplate.
You can check in anytime you like, but you can never leave.
You can never, Steve.
But you can never, Steve.
I gotta go home and take care of my dog.
That was the first notes of that solo. If you're just joining us for the very first time, I gotta say, third time, weird place to hop in. But we recommend you start at maybe episode 1. You missed some good analysis, mostly by me. I was killing it.
Good he shit. Was.
Andy and Steve were just here.
I'm going to be honest with you. I was half-assing it.
Are you going to full-ass it for this episode, Steve?
Oh, I'm whole-ass one thing.
I'm going whole-ass today. 2% whole-ass milk right here, baby.
Yeah, I'm with you, man. We got some coffee. We got some Indian food. I took subpar notes because I had one handful of naan.
Yeah, I've got some chicken vindaloo all over my notes. I'm a little embarrassed by what a monster I am when I eat.
That's what you get for not getting the curry. But that's not why we're here, ladies and gentlemen. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to email the show if that's what we want to do. And if we do want to do that, we can type it into streamingthingspod@gmail.com. That's streamingthingspod@gmail.com.
Hopefully you all take advantage of that email address. We know of its existence. You should take advantage of it.
Then what we're going to do next, checking that off the list. Next item, we're going to subscribe to the Patreon, which is at patreon.com/streamingthings. If you got the Patreon app, no big deal. You just open that sumbitch up, type the little magnifying glass looking icon, and then type in Streaming Things. Search. It'll pull it right up if you got the app. So that's, extra content's available on the Patreon. We very much appreciate that. We make a lot of good episodes and extra stuff. Our D&D, Stranger Things, trivia campaign, all that stuff is on there. But first, before we get into the Chapter 5 coverage, let's do a wonderful little thing that Steve came up with. We got a Stranger Things themed Mad Lib. We're going to fill in all the blanks that it's required of us. At the end of the episode, Steve will hop back in and read the story that we created.
Today's installment of Stranger Things themed Mad Lib is The Upside Down.
Oh my goodness. Scary.
I'm gonna need you to hit me with a verb.
Andy, verb.
Caress.
Nice. Nothing can go wrong.
Adjective.
Ooh, slowly.
Exclamation.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
That's it. Is that it?
That's the one.
I need a number.
69.
Nice. Plural noun.
Octopi.
Number.
96.
Part of the body.
Elbow.
Animal plural.
Andy stole octopi, so give me a second. Snakes. I'm a slippery little snake.
Verb.
Let's go.
Slither.
Yeah. Adverb. We'll go with.
Drunkenly?
Yeah, sure. Drunkenly.
Type of building.
Skyscraper.
Plural noun.
Mushrooms.
Type of food.
I should have said fungi.
Indian food.
Noun.
Candle.
Animal plural.
A lot of animals. Blue-footed boobies.
It's a type of bird.
Damn.
Footed boobies. Why are you giggling? We're just talking about a bird called a blue-footed booby.
Be mature. We're adults here.
It's just Steve footed boobies.
Verb.
Read.
Country.
Country.
Kazakhstan.
Kazakhstan.
And lastly, a verb ending in S.
Chafes.
Tune in towards the end of this episode to find out what happens in
the Upside Down.
The Upside Down. That brings us to our main event, our coverage of Chapter 5, The Nina Project, which Netflix describes thusly. Owens takes Elle to Nevada, where she's forced to confront her past, while the Hawkins kids comb a crumbling house for clues. Alliteration.
As it says, good.
Vecna claims another victim.
Verily.
Verily. Now, gentlemen, what are your overall thoughts on this episode, Andrew?
Vindicated. I'm so happy, Doctor. Right, guys, I mean, the elephant in the room. Elephant is back.
Here? Oh, God.
The elephant is back. Dr. Brenner. Remember? The elephant.
You referenced the elephant episode. Yeah.
I got it.
Yeah, so Andy predicted. We all knew Dr. Brenner was coming back. We all predicted that, right? For years. You all laughed at us. For years we have said this.
Yeah, and a clock is right twice a day if it's broken. Okay.
Right. However, Andy specifically, we discussed this, was thinking about, you know, hey, I think Dr. Brenner will be the perfect person to help Eleven get her powers back. And he said it'd be a little gross, which I think the show is aware of, they're handling it that way, I think. Well, they just... we'll talk about that when we get there. I have thoughts. I'm pretty pleased with it. But yeah, anyway, go on, Andy.
Anyway, it was awesome to see Dr. Brenner back. It sucks because, like, he seems to have jumped right back into the Dr. Brenner that we knew from yesteryear as opposed to the recontextualized Brenner that we got at the beginning of this season. And I'm a little shocked because I thought we were going to get some kind of, like... some kind of fatherly behavior from him, and we didn't. We got the Brenner that we've known and hated, loved to hate from the beginning. So I don't know how to feel about it. The episode overall was very good. It has not reached the highs of 1 and 4 as we were discussing prior to this recording, but I'm so hyped for what's coming next.
Mr. Steve.
I would agree with that. It was a very good episode. It wasn't quite as good as last episode. It's definitely setting up for more stuff in the future. I kind of thought heading into this, we didn't see Eleven at all last episode. So I thought this was going to be like the Lost Sister, where it's like all Eleven all the time. But that wasn't it, thankfully so. I kind of preferred it this way. It was kind of interesting from my perspective when the episode opened and you see Dr. Brenner. It was fun to watch the both of you react to it because there were two different things going on. There was Andy who's like, vindicated, yeah. And the first thing Chris did was sit up and like, I could see Chris just become visibly worried. Like, oh no, they're going to do this thing with Dr. Brenner that's gross and I don't like it. But over time, I could see you easing into it. But it was a good episode overall. I'm excited to see where things go. It was nice to see Lucas and Max starting to be friends again, and we're furthering the mystery that is Vecna and seeing what they're up to, and there's some shenanigans with flashlights and all that fun 80s tropesy type stuff that we love from Stranger Things. Chris, what did you think?
I think I'm right there with you guys for the most part. This is another transitional episode. I have a worried pit in my gut that 6 is going to be just the final setting up of the pieces for now. And then 7's going to knock it out of the park. But I'm just really eager to get some juice, some more juice. I'm addicted. I just got juice. 4 was amazing. I'm like, give me more juice. I'm addicted to the juice. I don't know what to tell you. But yeah, this is a solid episode. None of these episodes are bad.
Oh no,
by a, you know, by a long shot. But it's just some of them. The highs are so high that any kind of valley is like a wah, wah.
Well, these episodes are made in a binge model, and so they can get away with a here's a whole episode of just setting stuff up because that next episode is going to start in 5 seconds. And you, normally, in a normal world, we would just let that 5 seconds run and it would play. But not us. No, we have to stop. We have to talk.
Yeah,
we
not us.
We would have finished this whole series probably twice by now if we didn't have to record this podcast together.
Yeah, people don't understand. They hit me up all the time. Hey, man, what's your thoughts on the episode 7? There's no way you're not done. And I'm like, you don't understand. It takes a couple of hours to do each podcast episode. Yeah. And then we have to stop because Steve has to edit them. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, got to give the poor man a break, right? Mm-hmm. And then some of us can't hold it. And we just watch it on our own.
Not going to name terrible, names. Not going to point terrible. Fingers.
But let's go into the recap. We can go pretty quickly. That way we can get back and watch chapter 6. That's the idea. That's the idea. But the show opens, the episode opens with Paunch, as we know him, the government agent, the G-man that works for Owens, bleeding in the van. They're all trying to stop the blood. I thought maybe they would be able to save him. It didn't look like that. I'm not a doctor, right? But it didn't look like that gunshot wound was that bad.
On his upper dorsalis ventricle.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Vein shaft.
It looked to me like you knew it would have been awesome if they'd called back to episode 2, Jonathan looked him right in the eye in one of his last breaths and then said, tell me where it hurts. I got some EMT training from a guy here locally. I just need you to tell me where it hurts.
They actually went to the hospital and dropped him off. And it was that EMT. That came like, where does it hurt?
Nothing's wrong with him that I can see. But they want to take him to a hospital. Argyle's obviously freaking out. He's not used to this kind of shit. And the guy's like, no hospital. No, take my pen. My pen. And he says Nina, which we find out very quickly means the Nina Project, the little, float chamber that they built for 11.
We had Ella last season or last episode. So naturally, if we're going to have Ella Fitzgerald, we got to have Nina Simone. So
that's true.
It worked out. Balance things.
Yeah. Anyway. No Whatever. Thoughts on Nina? No thoughts on the pen guy, the bloody guy? All right.
Listener, you have to understand, Chris and Andy were talking to each other and then just stopped right there, and both of them turned to me, and I'm just like, nothing to add there.
Steve was like, you guys are nailing this. Don't worry. Keep going. We cut back to the buyer's house. And I got confused because it's partial Hopper house, too, because her name's Jane Hopper. And that's cute. Cut back to the buyer's house. The evil G-men have shown up and they're giving it to him the hard way.
They're doing it the hard way. They're overturning every nook and cranny of that house.
They're making it real dirty in there.
They're just making Joyce and the buyer's family they're going to have a really bad time cleaning all that up.
You sons of bitches are going to be so pissed when you get home.
Unpairing all the socks. Now you got to sort back through and put them together, roll them up again.
Taking all the furniture out and replacing it with slightly smaller furniture.
Make it feel like you're growing.
Just driving them nuts.
They're going to set the temperature just slightly off the way you don't want it to be.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be real uncomfy when they get back in there.
Yeah. But the one agent's still alive. We thought he was killed.
Yeah, he's like, oh, fuck, man, what's up?
And he was like, you know where the girl is. Tell us. And he's like,
We can assume that he does tell. Probably doesn't survive still. It's a lie.
Yeah, he's not as cool as the other agent. That's but for sure.
I'd bet my money, if I had any, that the evil G-men are going to storm Eleven's bunker in the next episode, or at least by the end of this season, because the guy, it looks like a snitch to me. I'm just saying. He was, it wasn't even that bad. Again, the gunshot, not that bad, but he's still laying there like a lazy ass. Meanwhile, Paunch is in there doing cool shit. Bang, bang, bang. I've got a gun. And I'm reloading it. That's what he said, too.
It's like, I just wanted to watch the Master series.
Worst thing to watch too. It's like even worse than baseball to watch. It's like, Jesus Christ, man, what are you doing?
I can't believe all these people showed up and none of them are making a sound because it's boring as fuck.
Yeah, what are they gonna do?
I can't believe people showed up either.
I want to go to a golf match so bad just so I can be the guy in the back going woo.
real talk, who are these people who go to golf tournaments and watch? How is that at all entertaining?
Hey man, I'm not going to yuck anybody's yum.
I will yuck this yum.
I'm yucking this yum.
I'm going to yuck the brains out of this yum.
You guys know it's yummy? Heath bars?
Yeah.
You going to yuck that yum?
No.
No? Nothing? No. All right, cool. Yeah.
We wouldn't do that.
Andy, who let this old man into your house? Can we escort him out, please?
Andy's a funny guy. One day he got me a really good present. It was the Batman cowl that was for sale for the Batman movie release with the popcorn in it, right? But he had thrown his back out. And so when I showed up to get it, he like had a cane and he was like, "Hey man." And now he likes Heath bars. I'm putting it all together.
I hurt my back in my youth. I used to play football. I also dove in a pool and hit my head.
I broke a vertebrae.
Series of back injuries in my lifetime. And so yes, once in a while my back goes out.
And I laugh at it.
This whole time, everyone thought that we were all three like relatively the same age, but really it's just Chris and I in our early 30s hanging out with this octogenarian.
I really like the Ted guy.
We're the Marty McFly to his Doc Brown.
Ooh, that's a good one though. Doc Brown's a dope one. We kid.
This is heavy.
Oh, my back.
Then it cuts to the bunker that Owens is bringing 11 to. She's been napping in the car. There's a beautiful wide shot and just like a tiny door in a shack. And we know there's no, it's not just a shack. There's going to be an underground lair. And he explains this is where back in the day they kept ICBMs, which are intercontinental ballistic missile silos. And there's no missile in there anymore, though. We got something more powerful than a bomb. It's U-11. That's what he says. You to bomb. And then he gives her Nux and they keep walking. It's really weird.
They blow it up.
She said, "Dope, fam."
And that's where we get the Dr. Brenner reveal. And he comes out. And Steve, what did he say? I forget.
"Hello, 11. Welcome to my crib. I moved since the last time. It's good to see you. Have you murdered any children lately? I mean, that's a kind of a deal breaker for me."
It's definitely not.
"It's great to be on MTV Cribs."
Yeah. "That's where I keep all my children.
Check out this hot fire lazy boy sitting in complete crossword puzzles in."
And he had like the tiniest scar on his face from having fought the Demogorgon.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he did.
He's like, "It scratched me, 11.
It was like how you
I had a terrible wound."
It was like you guys said a couple episodes ago, the little like flower mouths of the Demogorgons and the Demodogs.
They can't do much damage.
Like little rags going on people's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Owie, 11.
Like Dr. Brenner. It jumps on Dr. Brenner and he's like, "This is mildly uncomfortable. Please, no."
But Andy's right. I didn't like that whole scene at first. And I like the whole way they set it up. You know, it was really shocking. Like that was a powerful moment. This is a man who tormented her, right? He's done horrible things. Now we now know a little bit more about him. He did at least have feelings for these children in some capacity. He was a kind-ish gentleman at some point, at least more than we knew he was even capable of. Mm-hmm. The way I read his character now is that he's a mad genius, right? He's not completely without morals. He's just kind of sees the world in a way that allows him to do terrible things.
He's
right?
The ends justify the means.
Greater good kind of guy, right? Ends justifying means kind of guy, exactly.
He didn't have to tattoo them, though.
And that kind of is weird, because even when he cared, he's like, "This looks dope, don't worry.
No, you don't get a name."
Right, I have to completely dehumanize. But then there's this weird, like, not just that, like, that's like, I'm cocking my head sideways, like, oh no. But then 11 runs, right? And this it's tiny thing, but it bothered the shit out of me in a show that's otherwise so smart. 11 runs. She's like, she's running, right? And now she's not going to get anywhere because they're like 400 feet underground. That's dumb anyway, but I get it. Emotional reaction. Some asshole, some fucking douche. Maybe he's this first day on the job. He doesn't even have benefits yet. Pulls the alarm. Because it, why?
The klaxon, that's what the subtitles called it.
Like, yeah. I have to imagine Dr. Brenner was like, "God damn it, Phil. She's right there and she can't do anything.
Is this really necessary to be a code red right now?"
You know what I mean? Like, that's such a tiny nit to pick.
She doesn't have power. She's a child.
Are we pulling the alarms right now? So that just little shit like that, I was like, I don't like this. And then it made me feel bad about Dr. Owens. Like you.
Yeah. He was such a nice guy and then brings her there. He's like, "You want to help, right? You want to help."
Yeah.
Ha, surprise. Here he is. And then he just like fucks off while dude starts torturing her again.
About this now, because this is the linchpin of this episode.
But when this happened, I immediately turned to Chris and said, "Did we get bamboozled? Has Dr. Owens been the bad government the whole time?"
And the other government faction is definitely worse, at least the way they're painting it, because they're machine gunning at children, right? I do think that it's a gray. This is Game of Thrones esque, right? Like Dr. Brenner is not now good or anything like that or bad again. He's a very gray person who does mostly bad things, right? Mm-hmm. And so I don't think there's any real change there. We've just been given more information about his character. What I loved about this, what saved all of this madness for me, was the very end, where Eleven was sort of re-given a choice. Not really, but it was visually framed that way with the open elevator, and she's now decided to go. I wish she hadn't called him Papa, because that seems like a regression.
Daughter?
It doesn't seem like growth. It seems like a regression to her, like, what's a technical term? Stockholm Syndrome. You know what I mean? So that's gross. I wish she'd have been like,
I prefer Dr. Brenner. Hawkins Syndrome.
I wish she'd called him Dr. Brenner. That would have made it like 100,000 times better. So that kind of fixed it a little bit. So then we cut to Hopper getting beat up. He's recaptured. And the guy's like, I told you not to run. Now, pain. Now, you thought it sucked before. It sucks harder now.
It sucks so hard.
We give you a nice soup made by my babushka cook it.
And bread.
And bread. Tiny piece of bread. Now you get no bread.
No, nyet.
Nyet bread.
Nyet bread.
Sorry to our Russian listeners, if there are any.
I don't know what to do with you, America. We beat the shit out of you. How are we going to torture you more? I guess we feed you to monster.
Maybe.
You know what? You know what would be greater torture? Putting you in cellmate with Yak and Hagar.
Yeah.
Yak and
Enzo, or whatever his real Russian name is. Yeah,
he goes in there. Enzo's in there. His real name is Antonov.
Okay, Antonov. Yeah. That's what I couldn't remember what it was.
Antonov. It's like Anthony, but he's Russian. Mm-hmm. You know?
That's like how you would be Chris
Tanov.
Tanov. And he would be
Antonov. Steve Tanov.
Hello.
Hello. Hello. I am Steve Dunov. Very nice guy. With my wife, I always get Borat. I keep trying. I think I do a decent Russian until it just gradually becomes Borat.
When we were at New York a couple weeks ago, my boss and I kept doing, for whatever reason, we were doing Borat accents. We were going, whoa, and all that shit. And the person we were there with were like, are you doing a Borat impression? We're like, what the fuck is Borat?
That sounds so much worse. Borat. Sounds like a wrestler, like a really low tier one.
I'm Borat. Yeah. I'm going to face through the Sunday in a cage, Hulk Hogan. I want the title on Bo Rat's Waste.
Because he talks in the third person
Except
as well.
It's going to be at a high school gymnasium.
Yeah. He's actually dressed up like a Greco-Roman wrestler.
Yeah.
I got the things that protect my ears. And we're going to grapple.
Yeah. And then, I don't know what else to say.
I love when we do shit like that and Chris has no idea how to handle it.
I don't know how to segue. Yeah. We cut back to Yuri, and his mommy's going to be proud of him. We get that whole exchange between Yuri and Joyce and Murray. Yuri and Murray. Where, you know, Murray tries to take a little shot. I'll admit your mommy's going to be real proud of you, because he's bragging about how much he sells the peanut butter before back in Russia. Mm-hmm. And then Yuri's like, my mother is dead. Tired of being poor.
Got him.
She is going to be proud of me because I'm making so much goddamn money selling you people. So that's the plan.
We find out he has a daughter too, because he's like, I buy my mother anything. I buy my daughter a horse.
Gets a pony. No, not a horse.
Oh, sorry.
A pony.
I didn't know you were such a, what's the,
stickler?
No, what's the name for people who are super into horses?
Weirdos?
Equestrians.
Equestrians?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
I said weirdos.
I said equestrian.
Equestrian school.
Just added a couple of syllables there.
We cut back to Eddie, finally. God, I missed Eddie Munson. We find out Reefer Rick's in jail. We might have already have been supposed to know that. I'm not sure. But Reefer Rick's in jail. That's why he's able to crash out there.
I love how we find out that he's in jail. It's there's two gentlemen on the boat fishing. They're like, I guess Reefer Rick's back from prison. Oh, the justice system's a joke.
I know. I love how the part of the plot of this episode hinges on the fact that those two fishermen are gossipers. Yeah. And it got all the way around to one of Jason's crew that quickly.
Yeah.
Hey man, I was out fishing earlier, saw Reefer Rick's back home. Anyway, Eddie's real hungry, and we cut back to the Wheeler's house, and we finally get to see baby Holly.
Hell yes.
Max is drawing, fucking Ted's being fucking Ted.
All these little kids in my house eating my snacks.
Why are they always here?
We should go to some other house and eat their snacks.
And Karen's meanwhile, just Karen's her best. Just looking beautiful as hell, walking around, cooking things, saying, I'm happy everybody's here.
Yeah, she's being a good mom. She's looking at Nancy like, I'm so glad that you all still hang out and you're looking after each other. That's what a parent is supposed to do, Ted.
And then we get one of the funniest lines of the episode. Dustin trying to decipher Max's drawings, and she's not the artist that Will. And he just says, God, we need Will.
God, we need Will. Yeah.
It was such a good line.
There's so much gold in this scene. I mean, not only we get baby Holly, Dustin accidentally scares her by letting her know about Freddy Krueger. Nancy's like, don't, I love Nancy's reaction. Like, Dustin, don't tell her that. She's a little kid. She's baby Holly. And then I always love this. For some reason, Dustin, of all the characters, is the only one that does not put up with Ted's bullshit. Because if you remember in season two, there's that scene where Dustin tells Ted, like, you really are the worst. You know that? You're useless.
Oh, yeah, because he's standing at the door, right?
Yeah, he's trying to find out where everybody is. Yeah. And then in this one, he literally just he leans over Ted quite rudely just to make a point, like, oh, excuse me, gonna need some more of this food. Because Ted, I think Ted, like, sarcastically is like, no, please. Eat us out of house and home. Yeah. Dustin's like, thanks, I will.
Yeah, exactly. Sticking it to Ted, for sure. And maybe Dustin will be the one that ends up with Karen in like 20 years, you know? That'll really stick it to Ted. Mm. Andy said, we find out that the drawing, all the pieces that Max has been coloring, is Nancy puts them all together, because we wouldn't have a Stranger Things season without some sort of like artistic puzzle of some sort. And it turns out it's Victor Creel's house, rendered actually pretty well by Max in pieces. So
yeah, not bad.
Take that, Dustin. Pretty good. I even drew a stained glass window.
She's Picasso'd it, you know, she like deconstructed it.
Yeah. We cut back to 11. Turns out we find out pretty quickly that she's in like one of those flotation tanks, but it looks like she's back in the Hawkins lab. Which I never noticed before, that the floor is tiled identical to the walls and ceiling, which gives it a very eerie look. That's a strange thing to do. Mm-hmm. Don't ever do that in your home because it looks weird.
It's off-putting. You're going to make your guests very uncomfortable.
Yeah, it's very geometric and strange. She's got her head shaved again. I was really surprised about that, unless it's a really, really good wig. It's hard to do a shaved head wig, but because I had read that Millie Bobby Brown refused to have her head shaved again. It was like a huge thing the first time when she was a little girl. They showed her pictures of Furiosa from Fury Road, and like she was small enough to like, oh, doesn't that look cool? And yeah. Then she's like, yeah, for sure. And but as she grew up, she's like, I'm never fucking doing that ever again. And so I was surprised to see this, and maybe they got around it. They do a lot crazier thing. There's no Demogorgons either, so I'm sure they figured it out if it's not real. But just thought I would, you know. But she's stuck in a loop, some kind of horrible memory of her early days in the Hawkins laboratory. And she slowly figures out that it's not really. She actually eventually is able to talk to Dr. Brenner through the tank. So he's got her. And this is his exercise somehow, is to sadistically make her relive these traumatic memories. And that's his plan to get her to activate her powers again.
It's weird. It almost seems like there's some sort of parallel between what Dr. Brenner's doing and what Vecna's doing, where he's forcing people to confront some past trauma that they might feel guilt over. Maybe Eleven just has, because he made an allusion before. What's the song, the opera that he starts playing, Nina, for her, and how it's about a woman who suppressed a memory and she doesn't even realize it's happening. Maybe he understands, like, maybe Eleven doesn't fully, oh wait, she does know what she did with the kids, right? Like, wasn't there a flashback?
They had little flashes of the horror, but no, like, full on, I think.
So maybe that is,
maybe
is
supposed to be.
Maybe he is up to good things, as sick as it sounds at first. Maybe he's going to have her, like, confront and get over that, and that's the block that, you know, is keeping her from being able to use her abilities. And that'd actually be a positive thing for her.
Yeah. Cause at first, her little vision quest loot that's happening, it starts off with some orderly or somebody like, oh, look who's up, sleepyhead.
Yeah.
Thanks for joining us. We're about to have the fun at 10 a.m. And she always comes across that guy. For a second, I thought, oh, is this dude going to be the catalyst for what set her off that day?
I think that dude was from Twilight. Just clicked. I'm pretty sure he's one of those like Italian people that hangs out with Martin Sheen.
The Volturi?
Yeah.
One of those Italian people that hangs out with Martin Sheen is a way better description, though. We were trying to figure out who the actor is that plays the orderly, because he kind of looks like Nicholas Holt, but he's definitely not. But anyway, yeah, I still think that might be the case, Steve, that maybe he was a little more mean or something like that. But it looks like she was being bullied. We find out later. I'm going to skip ahead. Let me know when I get to the end if I forgot any scenes. But it looks like she was, you know, she was being bullied just like she is in the L.A. school. And that's
was
sad.
Number two was like, I don't know why he's even trying with this girl.
It's like, shut the fuck up, number two. Your name is shit.
Your name is literally number two. Okay.
Who does number two work for? Hey, you tell that shit who's boss, man. That's an Austin Powers reference for our listeners.
And that was an interesting scene because he's trying to get the kids to, I guess, with their mind, make the electrical bulbs light up and I guess do it in a circle. At least that was what the kid before her was doing.
Yeah. We don't know if that's the goal or what if it's not? And they were just like, good job too. Cool. Fucking idiot,
we really
man.
Wanted you to turn all the lights on at once, but whatever. But then there's that scene where she's having trouble doing it. And Brenner like leans over and he's like, they're all laughing at you.
it's Carrie. I'm telling you, they're all going to laugh at you.
They think you suck. And frankly, I'm getting there as well.
Have you ever been able to use a magic eight ball with your mind? Ten can't you, Ten?
Signs point to yes.
That was you shaking the eight ball, right?
Yeah, that wasn't
Macaroni. Okay. And then we cut to the gang is burying the agent, and we'll call him Paunch. They're burying him in the junkyard where they were playing golf earlier. And Argyle is not coping well with his new life of being able to see dead bodies and dealing with supernatural things. It looks like he makes a comment about a superhero. So it seems like they've caught another person up to speed.
Because he somewhat. Says you're a superpowered girlfriend. And there's he says the upside down at one point. So they obviously have keyed him in.
Sit down. We got three seasons of shit to tell you about. Yeah. Well, three and a half at this point.
This is heavy, man.
And he's the Cheech and Chong reference of the show, right? But he's not handling it well. They find the phone number that they've been told about where they can contact where 11 is or contact Dr. Owens inside the pen. Because it turns out Argyle's trying to make a gravestone for the body they just hid.
Out of cardboard.
Nah, man, I'm not going to say anything. It's just like, here lies the government guy who was the hero of Jonathan Argyle, Will. And
I love how he says something like, they're popular enough names. They can't track us.
Yeah, it's not like we're the only one with these names, man. Nobody else is named Argyle for one.
Right. Yeah. Unless you're a gargoyle, no one else is named Argyle.
The only time I've ever heard that word is in a pair of socks. And then we cut back to Hopper in Russia with Enzo, and he's in complete despair. He no longer has the will to live. Not only doesn't want to save Joyce, but doesn't think that he could. It's just worse somehow if I just stay, or it's better somehow if I just stay in here. And we find out a lot more about his backstory, that the reason his daughter got leukemia was because he was in Vietnam. And was around Agent Orange a lot. And so he's had genetic mutations. And he says, I'm not cursed. I am the curse. So that's pretty sad to see Hopper so sad.
Yeah.
I, for one, think. And it's weird. We had forgotten this. I think I can confidently say that. All of us had forgotten that the Russians had a Demogorgon.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
What the fuck? What's that? Any theories? What's going on?
It's a Demogorgon.
Well, the guy said that we got from America, but it's like, how? Okay.
I guess they would have swooped it from the Demogussy that they made underneath.
Oh, they swooped it from the Demogussy.
Yeah, they swooped it when they swooped up.
How'd they catch a Demogorgon? Yeah, they're Russians. That's how.
Yeah.
Vodka. That's how we caught it.
Vodka and a net.
We take it to Kombucha. Lock it up. You're in prison now, Demogorgon.
Tell us, what are Americans doing, you gross-looking American?
Your flower bites do nothing to me.
In Mother Russia, flower bites you.
My
what? It's just a Russian guy biting a Democrat.
Yeah, I get it. And then we cut to my notes that are illegible. Examine Munson's place. I don't know what that means.
That's where the
is that where Jason and the gang?
No, yeah. That's where the agents go to the uncle's.
That trailer. They're Salmon Munson's
place. They're scanning with their little scanner.
Yeah, so there's some sort of like Demogussy gate like thing on the ceiling of the trailer now, I guess, right?
Mm-hmm. That appeared when Chrissy was killed.
That's where Chrissy had hit it, right? So.
That's about the time when our Indian food showed up, so the notes might become sparse from here.
if they get worse than that, I'm in trouble. Chrissy's funeral is the next scene. Jason and the gang are there whispering about their revenge plot at Chrissy's funeral.
Patrick starts seeing the claw.
Is his name Patrick?
Yes.
Yeah, Patrick, yeah.
So Patrick, yeah, he's the next victim. He starts having his vision, seeing the clock and whatnot again. And then we cut to the Scooby-Doo gang breaking into Victor Creel's house. Actually, they didn't have to break in. Robin had a key. Yeah. So that's good, which was a brick that she threw through the stained glass window. That is a priceless artifact of history. Damn it.
When she did that, and my first thought was just, oh, no, the craftsmanship. What are we, oh,
my wife was probably so upset watching that by herself at home because she loves stained glass so much. We have a stained glass window and she adores it. Very upsetting. Very upsetting. But it did have lead in it. I understand. And then we cut to one of the best scenes of this episode. Murray practicing his karate versus Yuri. Murray versus Yuri. How did you guys take the scene? I didn't know. You weren't laughing as much as I thought you might. Did you enjoy it? Was it okay? Was it too much?
I enjoyed it. I thought it was awesome. I especially like the lead up to it where he's convinces himself that he can take that guy because he did manage to beat Jeremiah that one time.
He's almost 16 years old.
Yeah.
Yeah. Turns out he's actually a pretty decent fighter though.
Yeah. Yeah. He threw down. That was pretty awesome.
I didn't know where they were going to go with that. When he first squared up, I thought the comedy would be that he's terrible. Right.
Or the Russian just shoots him in the leg.
Or like an Indiana Jones kind of thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, he ended up kicking his ass. Unfortunately, too well. Yeah. That's the comedy too. Yeah. He did it too well. He's like, ha ha. And Joyce is like, what the fuck? We can't fly the plane. What I hated though, because Murray's really, really smart, like really, really smart. I would wager that he knows how to fly a plane for one, but even that, okay, barring that, he doesn't.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I would wager he wouldn't just start flipping switches in a already currently flying plane. You know what I mean? Like, he's smart enough to just take the yoke and do some stuff.
He's still riding off that adrenaline. Yeah. He just want to fight.
Yeah. He panicked and started flipping every switch.
Yeah. I would do that. Hell. My fingers are arrows. My arms
are iron.
My feet are spears. Kia. I love how he did the Kia.
Gotta do Kia or it doesn't work.
Dude, like,
it's the source of their power.
Last episode, I mentioned I wanted to spin off with Murray and Yuri, and this is about as close as a thing I could ever ask for. Murray and Yuri fight the rumble jump straight in the jungle. To the finale.
The rumble right. In the jungle.
This was the fight we've been waiting for. The
row in the snow.
Ooh, there you go.
Is it a row? Is it pronounced row? Andy, you would know. You watch a lot of Harry Potter.
It is a row.
The row and the snow. Any hoozle. We cut back to Elle training is what I put, but it's really just her wandering in a hellish mind prison. Thanks, Dr. Brenner. Way to help. And we talk about Nina, the opera. That's where that's explained by Dr. Brenner.
I do like we keep cutting back to Dr. Brenner and Dr. Owens, who seem to have very conflicting personalities.
Owens is still trying to play nice guy. Oh, get her out. I care about her.
She's in physical danger. We got to stop this. And Brenner's like, quit being a bitch.
Yeah, it's going to be fine.
If she dies,
he literally said nothing.
She dies.
I've done way worse things. And she's, look at
listen,
her.
Buddy,
look at her now.
Buddy, you came here to me. You know what I do. Like, right. You can take all that hippy dippy bullshit out there. we're going to torture some kids here.
Plus, he already took credit for it. He was like, you know what? I've been working on this, and I'm pretty sure that we can get your powers back.
Yeah, I've been working on is I found Brenner. Yeah. I healed his cheek. He had a terrible wound.
It was such a terrible wound.
It was such a little owie.
11. That was my favorite cheek.
That's not true. And then Dr. Owens has got his favorite cheeks. And then... Spread them. Who said spread them, Steve?
Spread them.
Why? Why'd you take it that extra step?
I
want to
conduct some experiments.
I found the gate.
I want to while experiment.
While 11 goes on a vision quest, how about we go on a sexual adventure? It's been a long time for old Dr. B.
So then we cut back to Jonathan and the gang with Argyle, and they find out, they call the number that's on the pen, and it's like a fax machine. And they realize it's a computer, and they jump to the conclusion that they need Susie, the only hacker they know in Salt Lake City, the Mormon.
Susie, can you hear me?
Yeah, that's what they say.
I was very excited. I did not expect them to bring Susie back in this way. Like in the first episode, it's like, oh, is that all we're going to get of Susie? Oh, that's kind of a bummer. Oh, well, what? Jaybird, Mike, and Will are going to go there?
How are they going to contact her?
I'm going to drive there.
She's out and going door to door, so it won't be hard to find her.
So they're going to, you think they're going to drive?
That's what they said. We're going to drive up there.
Wow. How far is you to Salt Lake City from California?
I think Mike said like we'll be there by tomorrow night is what he said.
Wow. I didn't catch that. I must have been taking notes while eating Indian food. That's going to be cool to see her in person in the show.
Yeah.
Okay. And we cut back to Eddie. Jason and the gang have found him. A real long shot on Patrick's part. That was the first piece of pretty bad writing, but they had to get there somehow. It was like, oh, we're going to go door to door and find this motherfucker. And then make sure you go to Reefer Rick's place. I heard from a fisherman that he's back.
Yeah. And I was like, it's probably nothing.
It's probably, yeah. Yeah,
then that made it worse. Yeah, probably nothing. Actually, let's not go there.
It'd be great if Jason was like, no, that sounds fucking stupid. What are you talking? What are you bringing that up for, idiot? We're going door to door.
Jesus Christ, Patrick.
Everyone knows Reefer Rick's in prison, idiot.
Reefer Madness.
Everyone knows Reefer Rick, that character we all know and love.
Yeah.
Who we've seen so often.
Why does everyone know this super secret drug dealer guy?
Everyone in Hawkins, Indiana knows Reefer Rick. Except for
the main characters who had to find out from very hard work about him.
He was like off the grid to that gang only. And everyone else is like, oh yeah, no, he's across the street from my uncle.
Everybody else is super drugged out.
I'm throwing money down on the table right now. I guarantee
he's not actually.
By the end of the season, there's going to be a scene where Ted fucking Wheeler's like, you guys been to Reefer Rick's? Love that dude. Great patriot.
Back at the Victor Creel house, Nancy, we get broken up into duos, little pairs. It's Nancy and Steve again. They get a little flirtation with the spider web.
Well, actually, it was Nancy and Robin broke off together at first, which I thought was really exciting because Nancy's like, come on, Robin, let's go. Like, yeah. They're becoming friends.
How did Steve end up with her?
Well, he and Dustin went into a room. Steve seemed to find like jars of... it looked like those bugs, and then one of the spiders was crawling on him, and he got scared, and he went back out in the hallway trying to brush the spider off his coat, and that's when he bumped into Nancy.
Oh, he bumped into her, okay.
And Nancy's like, oh, you got a thing in your hair, and then they started talking.
And then Max and Lucas have a great conversation, and, you know, that's what Steve was alluding to at the beginning of this episode, talking about when they were playing the piano and laughing and talking again. So Max at this point is just wandering around playing the headphones as often as possible. It hadn't occurred to me that she wasn't out of the water. I thought she, you know, she beat it. Now she's back in the crew and he's going to move on to somebody else is the way I took it. Mm-hmm. It's kind of tough and clunky that they have to like have her listen to this song for the rest of this fucking season.
Well, it might be one of those things where they don't know she's out of the water. So, you know, it's one of those better safe than sorry.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. It's just, I didn't consider that, mm-hmm. you know, and I'm just like, shit.
I did like her one line where she's like, I don't get sick of my favorite song because I have to keep listening to it forever. And then
it won't save me anymore. And we get more 11 training. That's when we find out she was bullied. And we talked about all that earlier. Then she has a seizure. And Dr. Brenner does eventually elect to bring her out. What's it called? You do the clear, do that thing.
Defibrillator?
Yeah, they use defibrillators on her. And then she runs again after hitting with a stapler or something.
The defibrillator. She hit him with one of the paddles.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Paddle this, bitch. And then she ran. It was a weird line for her. I dump your ass. And then she runs again.
Pizza time.
Again, not very far. And those three out of shape security guards who had to run 17 feet were like, ooh, giving us a workout, huh? I walk from right there. No, it was fucking far.
Oh my God. Give me a minute. Hold on. Give me my baton out. I'm gonna beat this kid up.
Yeah, no, dude, why are they so rough? And then she gets her powers back for a second, and I was like, yes, that's what I did audibly, because they're all three over top of her for some reason.
They're dead now.
maybe at least one. Definitely have terrible wounds.
Well, they're out of shape. They're clearly unhealthy.
That's true. They weren't going to take that well. And then that's when she agrees to get more training. Because
she tries to use her powers on Brenner.
She does.
And it doesn't work.
And he's like,
you thought it would be that easy?
I told you. I have to do stuff. I'm not going to tell you what.
You can go up that elevator and live a normal life as a normie.
In the desert.
Come with me and I can torture you some more. I mean, it's a win-win.
You could find a desert lizard to feed on. It's actually not much of a choice. You have no idea where you are.
Squirrels.
You're a kid. And that's just
go walk in the desert for a couple hours and
die. You can wander Death Valley in this weird outfit I've given you.
I'm glad you made the right decision.
Right. And then the main Scooby-Doo gang at this point, they follow the Vecna lights because it's like the upside down rules. The lights flicker if you're walking in the same area as the right side up folks. Andy called it. The attic is where he floats with his matrix tubes and sucks souls out of their eyeballs, which sounds a lot cooler than it is, turns out. And then Patrick dies, floats right out of the water. Now, do you think... Here's the main question.
Well, they're chasing Eddie.
Yeah, they're swim chasing Eddie, as I wrote. Swim chase. Because they're athletes, so he can't row fast enough to get away from those goddamn strong swimmers.
Swimming was a big theme throughout this. They kept bringing the swim metaphor back. Like, Dr. Owen's like, she's going to drown. Brenner's like, she's going to swim. And then we get Jason Patrick actually swimming and then paddling Eddie. And
when we're done with you, you'll be synchronized swimming. You'll be doing a breaststroke.
Ew.
No longer will you be doing doggy. You
butterfly.
Will be doing breaststroke.
Butterfly. So here's my question. Do you think Jason is going to realize now that Eddie is not the culprit? Or do you think he's going to accuse Eddie of doing some wizardry and killing Patrick right in front of his eyes?
I think that he's going to realize that it wasn't him.
And they're going to work together?
Maybe, yeah. I mean, because...
They'd be a hell of a duo.
Eddie's such an awesome character that, like, they had to nerf immediately and has just hide out in this little cabin in the woods.
Right.
And I want to see him have a bigger role. And so maybe it's just a hope.
I know. I definitely hope that he becomes a mainstay in this season, for sure. We only got, 4 episodes left? Mm-hmm. Of course, that's like 6 hours. Yes! But yeah, that's the end of the episode. Let's move on real quick to our three favorite moments, a.k.a. the chocolate puddings. Andy, what is your number three?
My number three is I wrote down Murray's ninja surprise that he talks himself into being able to fight Yuri and then succeeds. And the fight sequence was fun and silly and everything that I would have hoped it would have been if I had known leading into the season that Murray was a black belt in Taekwondo and was going to throw down. I would have hoped that the fight would have gone down in an airplane over Russia.
That's true. That is my number three as well. And I couldn't have said it any better than the way Andy put it. Even the way he took the note. Steve, what is your number three?
My number three is kind of a dumb, silly moment, but it made
me... Andy, what is your...
it made me really happy, and that is merely the return of none other than Baby Holly. I don't know why seeing her still in the show gave me such a like, there she is, Baby Holly!
And she got back. Sober.
She got sober.
She, true. She didn't have any drinks there. She's no. Just... Max is like, we've been having a good time, right? Right, Baby Holly? And she's like, uh-huh. Yeah.
She got a little 30-day coin
I'm sober
in the pocket.
Now.
Yeah. New listeners of the show, that was an ongoing joke.
I had forgotten about that.
That Baby Holly was actually drunk.
That's
the entire
2017 shit.
Yeah.
Andy, what's your number two?
My number two is Hopper's backstory. I'm finding out about his history in Vietnam, having been a disappointment to his father, having worked in the chemical parts, and learning that his child having cancer was not happenstance, that there was a reason for it, and them government is basically at fault for everything that's happening in all of Stranger Things and even in the personal lives of the characters within it. But more than anything else, that's the first time we've had Hop say more than one sentence at a time. And everything else, it's been like him with broken Russian and little hints of trying to speak. But this was just like...
Oh, you mean this season?
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I meant. It's first time he's fucking put more than six words together, and he actually got a moment to be Hop for a second, and that was great.
But that's what I mean about these pieces. Like, when Eleven gets her powers fully back, and Hopper is freed and back with the crew or wherever he ends up, like, mm-hmm. that's going to be so joyous.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, the moment in season two, I think two. Is it two? When she shows up at the cabin,
yeah,
and they think it's an enemy, and they almost shoot her, right? And it's like all the, oh yeah, it is too, because the demo dogs. She's just out there killing all the dogs and stuff. The
one flies through the window. She shows up looking like fucking Neo.
Yeah, she's got that badass outfit. And oh God, that was such a moment, right? Yeah,
and we're like, gonna get that.
We're gonna get one of those, man. Yeah. Steve, what was your number two?
My number two is the Murray Bauman fight. That was just a lot of fun to watch. It was
so fun.
Kooky. I love seeing Joyce being the smart one, like, because the gun gets knocked away and Joyce immediately goes for it. And then all the comedy that we talked about with Murray, it was just such a fun little scene.
Absolutely. And my number two was the exchange between Max and Lucas. Like I said, I think when I in my hype cast that we did, right, our hype cast, I said, nothing can happen to Max the way that people are predicting. I think it's terrible. It's cruel. It would be bad writing. And so it's really good to see her healing, thriving, you know, even if it's short lived. I'm sure there's more drama ahead, but I'm really happy to see those two, not even romantically involved. Like, I don't even think that's good, but it's good to see them healed and getting along and having these moments. And a little piano exchange was really well done. Andy, what is your favorite moment of episode five?
The return of baby Holly.
I'm nice.
Oh man, I was just say, hell yeah, my dude.
It was the death of Patrick intercut with the follow the lights in the Creole house. We got that badass flippy shot where the gang makes their way up to the attic where Vecna jacks into the Matrix, and they're all standing there with the flashlights. Oh, and went
through the floor.
And then, yeah, it turns sideways and then upside down. And
that's
then
a dope shot.
And we turn and to see Vecna in the same spot doing his thing.
Really good.
That was badass.
It was like in season two and the snowball, when how it ended on that shot, mm-hmm. and it went mm-hmm. through the ground, and it was like, peering over the school. Steve, what was your favorite moment of this episode?
My favorite moment is when Eleven got her powers back for just a hot second there. That shot of her kind of slamming down and the guards flying behind her and the sparks are going off.
Yeah.
It's such a cool shot. And
it was cathartic. It was a release.
Yeah.
You know?
Like, yeah, she's
we haven't seen
her.
Eleven do anything Eleven-y since, not even this season. Like, toward the end of season three, she quit doing things. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I think the cabin where she got bitten was the last time she did anything. I know when she pulled the slug out of her own foot, maybe mm-hmm. Right after she threw the car at the Russians. That was the last time she's done any 11-y stuff. Yeah. So anyway, just nice. It's been long. It's been 3.5 years, you know, it's been a long time. So anyway, that all that is to say, I agree with you. That was my favorite. Like, obviously I audibly screamed. So there's that. Hey. What about Eggos? Do you guys find any good Eggos? Andy found a really good one. I saw that.
Yeah, that was when Max and Lucas were talking at the piano. They give a quick shot of Lucas hitting some notes on the piano. And the piano is branded Kruger.
It's a Kruger piano. A
Kruger, a little Nightmare on Elm Street Easter egg.
In the episode where they had actually named Kruger for the first time, I think.
Yeah, said his name out loud.
I got a weird one. I want to see what you guys think. Obviously, there's tons of Nightmare on Elm Street influences explicitly in this season. But for the first time, and maybe this was obvious, it occurred to me that there was a huge Pennywise.
Yeah, I have
element.
This sound. Yep.
Did you really? Mm-hmm. Yeah, when they're in the house is when it hit me. I was like, this is fucking Pennywise.
Yeah, it's 100% that it house.
Yeah. Okay, good.
Mm-hmm. Totally agree.
Hell yeah.
The phone number that Mike and the boys, Dirty Mike and the boys, managed to get from the nameless superhero agent. That phone number was 202-968-6161. And if you call that number in real life, you get the same thing that they got in the show, which is a series of beeps and a bunch of clickety clacketing on a keyboard.
Beep borp, beep borp.
I want to call it and let it play out and see if anything comes of it. There's
You did, my friend.
I didn't let it go the entire time.
That's a good
time.
While.
I let it go for
Well, that's
about
because, Andy,
seconds.
You're supposed to drive to Salt Lake City, Utah yeah. now, find Susie, and let her crack the code for you.
But the point is that there is definitely an augmented reality game going on right now with that. Maybe it ties into the game that you were telling us about in the Hypecast. Mm.
The Light Bright.
And so,
the Light Bright.
I'm pretty excited to find out a little bit more about this. I don't have the time or the know-how to crack this code, but
Andy is our Susie.
There.
Andy is not on the case.
I noticed that Dustin's shirt says "bite off," I think, but it's got the BYTE, like compute, like a.
And it's written in binary.
Is it?
Yeah,
is it little ones and zeros.
Little ones.
Oh,
and zeros.
I didn't know that. That's not an ego. Nice. That was neat, little nerd thing.
I noticed that when he drops his backpack after he gives Steve the flashlight, he has a Ghostbusters badge on his bag.
Yeah, it says, "I've been slimed."
Yep. They mentioned Madonna earlier. And this isn't really an Easter egg. It's just a little fun bit of trivia. So that style of house that the Creel house is, do you guys understand? Like, that's like a classically, like when you think of haunted house, you think of a house like that, right? Mm-hmm. Do you guys know the history behind why that house is culturally what people think of when you think of a haunted house?
I do not.
Is it from A Christmas Story?
No, it's based in real life reasons. So this is actually, I learned this was a really cool Vox documentary that they came out with maybe like 5 years ago or so. They would make like these short, like 5 minute long docs, like here's this random thing. You want to know about it? And so apparently these houses were incredibly popular with like rich people, you know, way back in the late 1800s, early 1900s. And so there were a ton of these, you know, affluent families that would build these houses, but then the Great Depression happened. And a lot of these people, you know, were hit by the Depression, they would move out of their house and no one would be able to buy these houses. So they would just become, you know, derelict and overrun and shabby looking. And so when they I think in the 50s, when they made the Munsters, do you remember that show?
Mm-hmm.
There was just one of those houses that looked creepy and spooky because everyone thought those houses looked creepy and spooky. So the Munsters had their house take place in one of those houses. And now everyone thinks of those type of houses when,
yeah, I mean, like the house. Mike Flanagan, the Amityvilles, they're always these like rundown old mansions.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, always wearing those dumbass pajamas when they run in and their kids are having fucking nightmares and shit.
I wanted to correct myself though. I said Christmas Story, I meant Christmas Carol, like the Charles Dickens story, not like the Red Riding.
Yeah, we were like
shit.
The leg lamp movie.
Yeah, you said, I'm like, no,
definitely not that.
You mean like from like Red Dawn? You're just shouting out random ass movies to me.
Terminator?
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles?
10 Things I Hate About You? Is it from that?
And then my only other little one was I saw a little Simon Says game sitting on the table at Mike's house in the basement. I'm always confused, but anymore when there's a bunch of kids hanging out in one spot, I'm going to assume that they're just in Mike's basement.
I know. That looks nothing like what I know of Mike's basement. I almost made that comment last episode, but whatever.
This season, I don't know if you guys have picked up on this, but this season is filmed much more darker. Like every space is much more dimly lit. Like they're going for like a more natural lighting type approach with their lighting. Like it just, even like every scene just feels like not so much they're like not lighting everything correctly. It's almost like they take the exposure when they bring everything into color correction. They just like crank the exposure down in post. I don't know. Is that just me or have you guys picked up on that at all?
Well, they did call this their Game of Thrones season. So I think that they're taking a cue from that Battle of Winterfell where it's just entirely shot at night and you can't see a goddamn thing.
It's called the Long Night.
The Long Night. Okay.
Yeah, we did a whole episode on it, Andy. I'm begging you to listen to the show.
Yeah, so that brings us to our main event, really, in everyone else's mind. The reading of the Stranger Things Mad Lib we created.
This installment of Stranger Things Mad Libs is entitled The Upside Down, written by Andy and Chris.
Sort of. Sort Don't of. Put this evil on me.
Choice words have been written by Andy and Chris. Do you dare to caress into the upside down? Are you slowly enough to experience Hawkins from the other side? I hope you said, oh yeah.
Ha 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 ha.
The full sentence is, I hope you said, oh yeah, not in 69 years. Because the Upside Down is a nightmare for even the bravest of octopi. And unless you've got powers like 96, you'd probably end up like Barb down there. So what exactly is the Upside Down? Controlled by the Elbow Flayer and swarming with Demogorgons and vicious Demo Snakes,
would have been Cheeks Flayer.
This alternate dimension is the last place you'd ever want to slither. The first portal was drunkenly opened by 11 during an experiment taking place in Hawkins' own national skyscraper. Since then, the number of mushrooms to the Upside Down has grown, from rotting Indian food fields to the abandoned candle mill, where the Mind Flayer built his army of the blue-footed boobies. And though our hero, Jim Reeder, sacrificed himself to close the last open gate, there's speculation that Kazakhstan has a gate of their own. Who chafes what will happen next?
Yeah.
Yeah, those blue-footed boobies.
The army of blue-footed boobies.
Well, can you imagine building it for you?
You let them in.
It was weird sounding birds.
And now you have to let them stay.
That's all the time we have for Chapter 5. We're going to go watch Chapter 6. Thank you so much for joining us. My name is Chris.
And I'm Andy.
And I'm Steve.
Happy streaming.
But you obviously can't point.
Thank you, Phil.
Woo!
For giving us money.
We need more money.
Thank you, Carmelita.
Carmelita!
Thank you, Carrie, for your donation.
Donation.
And Enza, too.
Enza!
Thank you, Cake.
Woo!
Thank you, Katie. And Jimmy. Thank you, Sarah. Thank you, E. Lopez. Or Elo. Thank you, Kyle.
Kyle.
And don't you forget about Thomas. And Shay. Stephen V. And A-Wells. Thank you so much.
A-Wells.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.